Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, your place to look forward to all the weekend action. And we're going around the country this weekend. We're starting at Lingfield. We've got four live races on ITV. The trials for the Derby and the Oaks are the centre of attention there. We'll also go to Ascot, where 19 runners line up in the Victoria Cup, a huge betting contest. I'm sure our panelists have got some big price fancies for you. And jumps fans, we will keep you satisfied too. It is the Swinton Hurdle at Haydock, the early season highlight at the very start of the season to look forward to there. If you're a fan of the show, do remember to rate, review and subscribe so you don't miss any of the Racing Post content, particularly with all those classics and Royal Ascot to come. Let's introduce this week's panel to to my right, we have got Graham Rodway. Graham, just before we get stuck in, we need to warn viewers and listeners of some strange sounds coming from the G-Rod Towers. Why is that?
Yeah, I've got my little budgie in the room today. So we're having a little bit of work done on the house. So we've got workmen in downstairs. So I had to bring her upstairs. Now, when she hears people speaking, she automatically starts chirping like a maniac. So I expect that you'll get plenty of tips today from Luna the budgie.
Okay, well, a bonus edition.
You're probably better than you do. What's
being tipped up by the budgie? Hopefully not as successful as you, Graham. Also, bottom left, Liam Head, our Lambourne correspondent. I'm sure he will enjoy watching Lambourne win at Chester this week. And stepping in for Ed Nicholson is Unibet's Brett Williams. Right, let's move straight on to the weekend action. And the big betting handicap, which I touched on at the start, is the Victoria Cup at Ascot. This comes at 2:40 and a hugely competitive lineup here, where we've got Quirat as your 11-2 favourite for the arc-winning combination of Ross Ryan and Rafe Beckett. Roy de France for John and Fede Goz and Oisin Murphy. Glen Eagle Boy at 8-1. Mial 17-2. £10 and No Retreat at 10-1. English Oak, Royal Ascot winner, 11-1. And at 12-1, we've got Epsgard and Metal Merchant, 14-1 bar. Liam, great to have you back on the show. What wins the Victoria Cup at Ascot?
Yeah, firstly, it's obviously great to be back. And yeah, great to get stuck into a proper betting race like you touched on here in the Victoria Cup. Proper competitive fields, which we like to see. I think Mayal, it can go really well for Steph Hollingshead. Posted a career best performance when winning at Haydock the last day. Got a career high Racing Post rating on the back of that performance. That came on good ground, but it also showed he demonstrated his versatility to sort of go on any ground, which was one of the key aspects there. He's also won a good to firm at Haydock last summer. So even if the ground does continue to dry out, which as we're recording now on Thursday, it seems that it's going to go that way with a lot of dry weather to come. I still do rate his chances. He's got a really good weight on his back to carry 9 stone. And this 7 furlong trip also just seems to be is optimum at the minute. So he's the one for me.
Yeah, my Al, 17-2 for Steph Hollingshead, just seems to be improving all the way. Graham, let's bring you in for the Victoria Cup. Huge competitive handicap. We've been in jump season mode for quite some time. Just remind us, what does the top tipster look for in these big, I suppose, sprint 7 furlong handicaps which you get through the season? What are the key parts to finding winners in these? Because they are so competitive.
Yeah, I mean, it's great races, aren't they, these ones at Ascot? This is obviously the first of many that we're going to have at the track all season up this straight track. And, like, big fields, obviously being on the right side of the track can be quite important here. And I obviously have my big umbrella theory, which is that the Ascot grandstand's so big that it blocks out the rain coming in from one side. And as a result, sometimes the ground is quicker on the stand side. And that has been the case, I think, in a lot of runnings of this Victoria Cup in recent years. If you go down the winners in the last 10 years, they've all been drawn like 27, 24, 10, 13, 29, 25. There's loads and loads of high drawn runners who have run well. Albeit, of course, it could be slightly different this year because that umbrella won't have been in action because there's been no rain. Obviously, it's good to firm ground for the first time probably in the last 10 years in the race. But nevertheless, the one that I do like in the race is drawn high, and that is 10 pounds, trained by Harry Charlton and Trevor Whelan, has got a really good record on the straight track at Ascot. And talking about things that can be important when it comes to winning on the straight track at Ascot, I mean, jockeys can be significant. Nobody's better on this straight track than Jamie Spencer, waiting and pouncing late. But Trevor Whelan's had his fair share of success too. He seems to judge the track really well. This £10 is a rapid improver for a top yard. Harry Charlton, I think, is really going places. I'm quite surprised that he's a double-figure price here, James. He wasn't impressive when he won at Newmarket, but I felt like he had a lot more in hand than the actual margin. He came through quite strongly, was well on top, albeit only by a neck. He's only gone up £3 as a result, and I think he can take another step forward. So I'm on £10 from another high draw under that umbrella on the stand side.
And £10 is 10-1 chance as well. Brett, sure you've got some lovely offers for us lined up on the Victoria Cup.
Yeah, we're paying five places each way, which will make it a little bit easier. As you said, it's a massively competitive race. You can make a case for plenty of them. I think the favourite, though, is plenty short enough. I've narrowed it down to two. I quite like Rade de France, for Ocean Murphy and the Gosdens. Both his wins have been over a mile, but I think a stiff seven at Ascot will definitely suit him. If you look at his form, he's still relatively unexposed. But the other horse I like is No Retreat, having his first start for George Scott. Started off his career with Roger Vary and popped over to Dubai and Bahrain with Fawzi Nass. He's now having his first start for George Scott. I think he's still owned by the same connections. He's really interesting. He's being gelded. This trip suits him, likes fast grind. And, you know, you're just looking at horses that have sort of been there, 10-12-1. I think No Retreat will beat his off a career high mark. I think he could be quite interesting, also, as you'd expect, a typically competitive handicap.
Brett, just talking about Roy de France, I mean, he is a horse who comes in with the all-weather crossover. Of course, that's another thing that you can look out for quite often on this straight track at Ascot. The horses that have got good form on the all-weather do tend to translate quite well onto the straight track at Ascot. I mean, I backed him a couple of times around Kempton, and, you know, he keeps going close about winning at short prices, but he's putting fairly short again here. Brett, do you reckon he'll go a favourite, or is Kirat likely to be the
one? Kirat is a pretty solid favourite, but I wouldn't be surprised to see support come for this horse. As you said, when they transfer that all-weather form, if they're going to transfer it to turf, it's usually when the ground is good. Obviously, it's not extreme distance, so you'd expect him to handle it. And also, he's drawn well. You were talking about, you know, the high draw is perhaps the best place to be positioned. Racing from 18, you can certainly make a good case for him. So I know it's a good race, isn't it? You really can. You can. There's quite a lot of ticks and quite a lot of boxes for quite a lot of horses.
Let's not forget Witchhunter
as well, we should say. I mean, Witchhunter's got a great record at the track for Richard Hannon. I just spoke to him for his Unibet blog, which, of course, you can read online. And he's quite bullish, as he always is, about Witchhunter. I think he's ran five times at Ascot, and he's only ever been at the placings once, and that was the last time. So you can make a good case for him as well.
Just before we move on, I'll come to you, Graham, on this. Roy de France, you mentioned for the Gosdens. The big talking point, of course, is Kieran Schumach and the ride in the 2,000 guineas and subsequent events. He's no longer a retained jockey. What was your version of the last few days, Graham, and what's happened? I mean, you watch a lot of races, you analyse a lot of races. How would you look back on what's happened in the last 7 days?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it will surprise anyone, really, that he's finally been jocked off out of that job. I mean, he's had a lot of chances at the top level to get it right, and unfortunately for Kieran, it's just not quite happened for him, has it? And I think that Saturday's defeat on Field of Gold was the last straw, really, and he was, of course, beaten by William Buick, who was drawn on his outside in stalled 11, but yet ended up challenging right away from him on the other side of the track. And Kieran Schumach was travelling like the best horse, wasn't he? Field of Gold with 2 furlongs to run. He looked like he was going to win quite easily. And I don't think there's any doubt that if you swap the jockeys, then I think Buick would probably have come home in front on Field of Gold had he been on him. And those are the margins that but they're very fine at the top level, aren't they? But those top jockeys like William Buick and Frankie Dettori and Ryan Moore, when it really matters, they're able to get their horse over in the line in front. And unfortunately for Kieran Schumacher, he's had some big opportunities over the last year and a half for the Gosden team, and he's not quite managed to take one. And as a result, he's paid the ultimate price. So he's still a very good jockey. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And maybe just having the pressure off of him now a little bit might help him to fulfil his potential in a few years' time, because he's definitely got the ability to be right up there in the top echelons. But unfortunately, it's just not happened for him, has it?
No, wrong time, wrong place. And as you say, we certainly hope to see his career flourish when perhaps a different set of circumstances will help him. We'll move on to Lingfield now. Time of recording on Thursday afternoon. It's good to firm there. And you're 7-4 favourite for the William Hill Lingfield Derby trial at 3 o'clock is, unsurprisingly, trained by Aidan O'Brien. The favourite is 7-4 Puppet Master. His stablemate Stay True at 3-1. Rahib at 7-1, as well as Prince of the Seas. Nighttime Dancer at 12s, Rogue Impact 18s, and R. Ennery at 28-1. Liam, we'll come on to the Lingfield Derby trial as well. Has anything caught your eye, particularly as our Lambourne correspondent, with an eye to the Derby itself? And perhaps will we see a clue on Saturday?
In terms of the Derby, from sort of my patch, obviously, Gethin was the one that we thought might be the one sort of carrying the flag for Lambourne, Owen Burrows, but he was obviously met with a setback, so he's not going to be taking his chance. In terms of sort of the Derby, you know, this weekend obviously will tell us more clues. Aidan O'Brien just seems to have quite a strong hand, as he always does in these classics. So it'll be interesting to see sort of what happens. This Derby trial itself, I mean, I do think he will win the race, but it's Stay True for me as opposed to Stablemate Puppet Master. I know Ryan Moore's obviously opted to ride Puppet Master as opposed to Stay True. I think Richard Kingscote's on Stay True, but I thought what he did, you know, a first time out at Leopardstown last month, he looked really, really impressive, and you'd like to think that there's more to come. It obviously took him a little bit of time to get into the race, but I think that just can be put down to sort of greenness and inexperience. But he quickened as soon as the pace picked up. And again, that came on sort of quick ground. So, you know, conditions could be favouring him. And obviously, this is a race that Aidan O'Brien's targeted in previous years with a view to going on to the Classic. You know, it's the last three winners for him have all gone on to race in the big one. Not more so than Anthony van Dijk, who won this thing on the way to winning the Derby in 2019. So I know Stay True doesn't actually hold an entry for the English Derby. He does hold an entry for the Irish Derby, though. So it will give us plenty of clues going forward and what sort of team Ballydoyle put together. But looking at this race, I prefer him than his stablemate, to be honest.
Yeah, you have to wonder how they're going to separate all these top quality middle distance horses. Of course, the King Edward coming up, which could well be an option for Stay True. I was quite surprised, Graham, that Ryan Moore opted for Puppet Master, given Stay True did look pretty useful when winning on debut.
Well, do you think it can possibly be down to the fact that obviously he rode Lambourne, didn't he, to win the Chester Vars, didn't he, on Wednesday, and that was second behind Delacroix? So I guess he's probably looked at it, and the form's working out quite well, isn't it, of the Ballysacks? Is Delacroix running Sunday, isn't he, in the Derrenstown? So, but yeah, I mean, the bookmakers had very little between them before Ryan made his choice, and now that Ryan's on Puppet Master, he's the clear favourite. But it's not a race, really, that Aidan's run his best in, is he? I know that Anthony van Dijk did win it a few years ago, but I think he's had 10 runners, I think, in the last 10 years, and three winners and a couple of places, and was Kilimanjaro and United Nations. I mean, they were decent horses, but they weren't anything special, were they? So I don't think you'd be running scared of Puppet Master at a very, very short odds. So looking back at the brief last 10 years of the race, Roger Varian had a good winner of it, didn't he, a few years ago, and he ran third when he won it with Third Realm. He didn't go on to fulfill his potential in the end, but he was very good on that day, and he's got Raheeb in here, and the Hannons won it as well, didn't they, with Humphrey Bogart 9 years ago, and they've got Nighttime Dancer. What do you know about Nighttime Dancer, Brett? Have you spoken to the Hannons?
Yeah, I just spoke to him a few moments ago, actually, to go through his runners. I mean, as you said, Richard is always quite bullish. It's very rare that he's quite downbeat about his horses. But, you know, if you look at his record, in, as you said, in this race, and then they've gone on and ran in the Derby, I think Humphrey Bogart, as you said, won this. And then he was fourth, I think, in the Derby. Mojo Star obviously didn't run in the trial, but then he was just touched off in the Derby. So, you know, he doesn't sort of run these horses in these races if he doesn't think they've got a good chance of acquitting themselves well. That race that his horse Knight of Dancer won at Sutherland, there's quite a strong form line there with Raheeb and with Renato, when, of course, Knight of Dancer beat Renato at Sutherland, and Renato was behind Raheeb in the race won by Opportunity at Haylock. So there's quite a sort of strong form line there, if you can go with me there. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But, you know, I think the fact that you were talking about why Ryan Moore might be riding Puppet Master, as you said, he is engaged in the Derby, unlike Stay True. So perhaps he wants to get his leg over that just in case he's going to ride it at Epsom. But no, it's a good race. But no, I'd like to see Nighttime Dancer run a nice race. But whether he's quite good enough to beat the Ballydoyle Battalion is probably questionable. But we are super boosting all the runners in that race, so you're going to get the best odds anyway.
Yeah, I wanted to take on that. I wanted to take on the favourite, but I wanted to know what you were going to say about Nighttime Dancer first, because I know you would have spoken to the Hannon. I just want to throw in a silly one, James. A ridiculous price. Rogue Impact. James Owen trains this. He's only had it. He's only had it for one run, and it won first time out for him at Lingfield last time. Was with Peter Chappell. It was on the all-weather last time at Lingfield, but the time was pretty good that day. He was clear of the second. The first two were long way clear of the third, which I always like to see with a solid time figure. And James Owen, obviously, if there's a trainer that's going places, then it's him, isn't it? I mean, whether it be jumpers, flat horses, sprinters, stayers, you know, you name it, he can train them. And I thought that Rogue Impact might make a big step forward from that maiden win at the track last time. And didn't the Rogue's Gallery win one of these trials? Was it Rogue Millennium? Didn't she win the Oaks trial a few years ago? So maybe they've had that in mind as well. I just thought, you know, when someone just jumps out at you at a massive price, and just keeps jumping out at you, Rogue Impact.
Okay, let's see what jumps out at you, Graham, in the 135 at Haydock. This is our bit of jumps action in the midst of lots of big flat season festivals, Royal Ascot and such. We've got the Swinton for jumps fans. We'll look forward to this on Saturday. This is, of course, the Potemps Network Swinton Handicap Hurdle at the 135 at Haydock, where your favourite is, kudos to Johnny Pearson and Connections, with our champ, 11-2 favourite. Give me 5, 7-1 for Harry Durham. Helmine, 17-2. Ooh, Betty, 9-1. Lanesborough for Ben Jones and Ben Pauling, 10-1. We're at 11-1. We've got three horses: Goblet of Fire, Any Harm in Asking, and Glory and Fortune. She's a Saint, Welsh Charger, Tapley, and Dance and Glance 12s. 14-1 bar. Liam, what do you like in the Swinton?
Yeah, I'm signing with Harry Derham and Give Me 5. He's been an absolute star for the yard in the last few years, and Harry Derham's obviously campaigning brilliantly. You know, he won at Cheltenham in October. He's had plenty of runs under his belt this season, but it's his last two performances that have really stuck out, both yielding sort of improved Racing Post ratings. 1-3-3 at Newcastle on his penultimate start, and then obviously a 1-3-4 to better that over course and distance at Haydock the last day. So the fact he goes well at the track, you know, he handled good ground that day. And Harry Derham's obviously last season, as we are now, he had a brilliant year. And he's sort of had that sort of initiative of only running horses, you know, when they're fit and ready. And he obviously wouldn't be running Give Me 5 here, sorry, if he wasn't up to winning this again. And I know he's obviously going to go off top weight, but he managed to defy that the last day, and he's still only five. So you've got to sort of run them and roll the dice while they're in red hot form. So he's the one that I'd be siding towards for this one.
7-1 he is. What do you like, Brett?
I like Give Me Five. I mean, as Liam's just said, you can make a good case for him, but I just think that £5 rise again, he's got just to continue on that upward trajectory. And, you know, this is a fiercely competitive handicap. I quite like Goblet of Fire. I know it's probably not an original selection trained by Nicky Henderson, but it's not a typical Henderson sort of type horse, is it? He's obviously sort of, you know, this horse likes good ground. He hadn't run since November before scoring at Hereford last time. So that would have put him spot on, you think, for a tilt like this. Again, he's got to improve. He's up a bit more in the weights, but good ground. You'd imagine this would have been the target for quite some time, as I said, because he didn't run during the winter. And what decent sort of price? We'll see around 10-1. I wouldn't put you off Goblet of Fire, but we have got some nice offers in this race, actually. If you're about the second or the third, you're going to get your money back as cash, and we're also paying five places each way. So lots of incentive to get involved in. It's always that race, isn't it? So you think, is it the end of last season or is it the start of the new season? But it's in there anyway. It's always a good race.
Well, the flat season doesn't start until the summer plate, really, for me, Brett. So and that's when it finishes, I mean, at the same time as well. So
you think we were in the middle of the jump season yesterday? There was about five. There's been more jumps meetings the last couple of days, and there's been during the jump season. Unbelievable.
Yes, it's certainly interesting planning. The amount of jumps we've had in quite a short
time. A much
deserved break, should be said, for the jump contingency the week after the championship finished. Graham, this comes to you. Swinton Hurdle, what wins?
Yeah, cracking race, isn't it? I mean, it's a really competitive handicap, as it often is. I mean, this our champ is an absolute dude of a horse, isn't he? He really just turns up every time and runs his race. I mean, he was, what, sixth in the county and seventh in the Betfair Hurdle and down the field in the one over Christmas. And then last time out, they thought they were going to win the Sussex Champion Hurdle. And then, of course, who rocks up but none other than Willie Mullins himself in the pursuit of his title and trains the first two home, only for our champ to be first of the British. So he'd be pleased that there ain't no Willie Mullins horses lining up against him here. That's for sure, our champ. And, you know, he'll go if he gets carried out, he'll get carried out on his shield like he always is. It goes off in front, blasts away, loves good ground. Certain to run well. You'd be very surprised if he's outside the sort of four or five in this sort of race, but he is quite a short price. I thought when I was looking at this race, I was going to get double figures, and I'm not here. So there were a couple who caught my eye. One was Kerry Lee's runner, Black Eagle, yeah, because she trained the winner a couple of years ago. She trained a horse called Black Poppy to win it a couple of years ago. And I thought that this Black Hawk Eagle looked like it was coming back to form last time. Where was it? Hereford. Yeah, it was a best run for quite some time. So it does make you wonder whether Kerry Lee's had this in mind. But the one that I've come down on is She's a Saint. Dan Skelton's not won this race, to my knowledge, but he's won pretty much every other two-mile big two-mile handicap hurdle going. He's absolutely mustered in this type of race, and he's had a bunch of horses placed. He might have had four or five different horses placed in the last 10 years without winning it, so he's due a win in the race. And She's a Saint, still quite unexposed, was very impressive when coming from the rear to win at Aintree, two starts ago at the Grand National meeting. A similar sort of big field race like this, similar track, Aintree, left-handed, flat, long straight, was well suited by that. And then I'm not sure that Plumpton would have been She's a Saint's track when she was behind our champ last time. She was fifth in the Sussex Champion Hurdle, our champ was third. But I mean, that Plumpton is a real sort of whiz around the, you know, left-handed, which really suits front runners. It's hard to get into the races from off the pace. She's a hold-up performer. I think back on a big galloping track like Haydock, She's a Saint's got a really good chance of reversing those Plumpton places with the favourite, our champ. So at double the odds of our champ, I'll be with She's a Saint. But I'll be cheering on our champ as well for our postcast friend Johnny Pearson and Connections.
Yeah, you give good mention as well to Black Hawk Eagle. That was my selection in the race. And I did fancy the chances. When you said Black Hawk Eagle with the bird in the background, I thought it's written in the stars, Graham, that that's clearly going to win. So great selection in that. 14-1, our champ, as we say, 11-2. And best of luck to Johnny Pearson, friend of the Postcast course, who's family involved in our champ, your 11-2 favourite. We will be discussing all the rest of the ITV action after this quick short break. Okay, loads of action left on ITV to go through. We're going to spin through the highlights of the action with our key selections, the big fancies from the boys. Let's start with you, Liam. What else has caught your eye across the ITV action?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Ascot. I like the favourite Rainbow's Edge for the Gosdens in the mile filly's handicap. Thought she was... She's been sort of really impressive in both turf starts. Won a Newmarket before, a close second when up into listed company at Bath. Both her runs have come on sort of quick ground, and she has the speed for this mile trip. And again, she's gradually improved in all three starts, based on what she yielded in terms of racing post ratings, and obviously it's another. What looks to be another exciting horse for the Royals, obviously owned by the King and Queen. So I really, really think she can go well for the Gosdens in this one.
Yeah, that's the 205 at Ascot. Talk us through the rest of Ascot. Any other selections across the weekend, Liam?
Yeah, Andrew Balding, I think he's got a smart horse in Tocquino in the mile and a half handicap at 3:15. Also on ITV, again, not really done an awful lot wrong. He was ultra impressive on his first start, and again he took a lot forward from his first run to his second, and the second of his wins, which came at Newcastle, came over the extended mile and a half. So he obviously has the stamina for this trip. You know, if he can transition from the all weather where his two runs have come, you know, then he should be such a big player for this one. And he's had a nice break for, you know, since that last win as well. So I think he can go well for Andrew Balding. And then I also fancy Cathedral in the 3:35 at Lingfield. Produced a really strong turn of foot to win on the all weather at Lingfield in September. And, you know, wasn't beaten far. I think he was only beaten half a length in listed company in Newmarket in October. And I think the form of that race can be marked up, given the fact that finished, you know, just ahead of Flight for Ollie Sangster, who obviously sort of ran a huge race in the Guineas there last weekend. So, you know, it's a smart, looks a smart horse. The form of the race that... that was won at Newmarket, obviously the fourth one as well. So I think he can go really well for connections in that one.
Yeah, so just spin through Liam's selections there. That's the 205 at Ascot, Rainbow's Edge. So Aquino in the 3:15 at Ascot and the last race you'll see on ITV, the 3:35 at Lingfield, Cathedral for Liam. Graham, anything caught your eye? I know we should mention the Lingfield Oaks, only three runners in the trial, which is a really disappointing turnout for that race. Just about the Oaks generally, have you got a strong selection for the next classic up?
Yeah, it's quite surprising, isn't it? You only got three in the Lingfield Oaks Trial. Usually you get plenty of chances, don't you, throwing in their fillies trying to get you know, the old black type, as they used to call it. You know, I mean, you'd only have to run to nearly get black type, wouldn't you, in this Oaks Trial, because there's only three in it. And I mean, the Harpsichord's rated 84, you know, so... quite amazing, really. The worry for Giselle is like a very small field three runner race, and Hayden O'Brien slapping on a hood for the first time is basically an admission that she's probably going to pull. So whether you want to be on a hard puller at what's going to be a short price in a free runner race around Lingfield's tight turns is questionable. I'd say it's a real trappy little race and not really one to bet in. But I mean, as far as the Oaks goes, I mean, the outstanding piece of form looks like it's Desert Flower, doesn't it? And whether she will stay a mile and a half, we will find out. But she looks outstanding, doesn't she? We do, of course, on Sunday have the France, the French classics, the 1,000, 2,000 guineas in France. So, you know, it's possible we might get something out of those two as well. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a cracking weekend of sort of varied action, isn't it? It's like classic trials, big field handicaps, big field jumps handicaps, classics themselves. There's something for everyone this weekend, James.
Certainly is. You've teased up the French guineas there, which we'll come to after our break. But first, we've got to get what you fancy. Brett, should I say? I'm used to old habits. Anything else caught your eye across the rest of the ITV action on Saturday, Brett?
Well, interesting that Liam's gone for that horse to Tocchino in that 3:15 at Ascot. I mean, it is obviously of interest. You know, two from two, steps in the handicap company for the first time, having been running on your weather. Is of obvious interest, but I quite like a horse called Night Breeze in that, trained by Ian Williams, and had a spin round Haylock a couple of weeks ago over a mile and a quarter. He's a real gutsy, tough horse, a lovely horse. I learned by a new approach. I think stepping back up to a mile and a half will suit him. Being dropped a pound by the handicapper as well. I mean, he is still pretty high off 80, but I just think he could be quite interesting. He's around 12 to 1, so I certainly wouldn't put some people off backing that horse each way at around 12 to 1 Night Breeze in a race where we are actually paying four places each way. And then there's one in 2:25 at Lingfield with price boosting the favourite there. I like a horse called Vice President, who's trained by Richard Hughes, Ryan Moore Rides, used to be with Aidan O'Brien. Now with Richard Hughes, had one run for him. That was first start of this season. Blow the cobwebs away there, and I'd expect him to go quite well stepping back down in trip. But as you said, there is, if you don't get excited about this weekend's racing, then you might as well just choose another sport, because there really is something for everyone this weekend.
Yep, Brett. The only race we've not talked about, I think, is the 150. Fox Avatar for you. Is it the favourite? Hard to beat.
Yeah, interesting race. Yeah, a horse who's quite exposed in handicaps. Roger Varian trains. Sylvester D'Souza rides. Had one run this season. Was quite keen on that occasion. Hopefully, I'll go a decent gallop, which will definitely suit him. And likes a trip as well. So yeah, Fox Avatar certainly of interest in that that 150 at Lingfield.
Okay, so we will have a quick look over the rest of the weekend's action after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger. With three uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, final part of the show now, where we'll be looking at the rest of the weekend's action. Before we do, Brett, what offers have you got for us this weekend?
Yeah, so just to spin through them very quickly for you. In the 2:25 at Lingfield, we have got a price boost for you in that. As the same story in the Oaks trial at 1:15, where Gazelle, of course, as you know, is our favourite. Just I'll give you a few prices, actually, talking of Gazelle, because we've got on there. Obviously, it's a trial for the Oaks. She's currently 14 to 1 to win the Epsom Oaks. If she wins on Saturday and wins it doing well, as usual, you'd expect to see that horse shortening price. And I'll just give you a few reflections from what we've seen so far at Chester this week. A good performance from Lamborn. In the Chester Vaz yesterday. That horse now 16 to 1 from 25s for the Derby. A Mini Hawk, who she did quite nicely in the Cheshire Oaks. And she's the shorter price of those horses that won yesterday. 6 to 1 to win the keep going. It's not the Investec Oaks, is it anymore? I can't say the name of the sponsor, but to win the Oaks anyway. And also playing four places each way in the 3:15 at Ascot and five places each way in the Swinton Hurdle and five places each way in the Victoria Cup.
All done very quickly and sharply. From Lamborn the horse to Lamborn the correspondent. Liam, you got a real strong fancy this weekend away from those ITV races.
Yeah, in the 3:05 in Nottingham, James. Shamrock Bay for Dan and Claire Kubler. You know, really looks a smart horse in the making. It's two from two for the yard. And, you know, he showed real improvement on what he did on his debut at Yarmouth. Won over course and distance and good to firm in August last summer. He's related to a couple of winners, and I do think he has the potential to improve for a yard, definitely on the up. They've obviously had a tremendous year, a career best year in terms of winners last year. and things are going right. You know, they've heavily improved on numbers in the yard and quality as well. And I think Shamrock Bay can sort of prove that results are working for Dan and Claire.
And what a fitting winner it would be for you, Liam, given you spend your time watching Ireland home and away. So Shamrock Bay will be cheered on in, of course, the 3:05 at Nottingham. Graham, you've got some French fancies for us. Talk us through the two classics at Longchamp on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they're great races, aren't they? 3:25, the Poulet. You know, it's going to be great to see Henri Matisse and Hot as Hell. Looks like they're going to match up again. They obviously met last season when Henri Matisse got better at a battle. However, Hot as Hell went on to win twice afterwards, didn't he? Including the Group 1 Futurity at Doncaster when he beat none other than Delacroix, who... obviously went on to win the Derrinsdown, and the form of Hot as Hell's form just keeps getting franked and franked and franked every way which way you look at it. It starts to look better and better. Henri Matisse, of course, winning last year the Breeders' Cup coming from the Clouds. A lot's going to depend on the draw with these races, Jane, because they're massive draw races, very, very hard to win from wide stalls over a mile at Longchamp. But let's hope they both get drawn nicely, and if they do, we could be in for a cracking race between them. And of course, there's a bunch of promising French horses in there. The way the French train bring their horses along a bit more slowly, it's sometimes going to have a few lurkers in there, and there might well be one in there. But it looks like a cracking race. And the fillies race, the Pouliche at 4:05, all eyes are going to be on Zarigana, who is a granddaughter of the great Tsar Carver and was being touted as the next Tsar Carver herself towards the end of last season. But she did get turned over in the fillies race on Art Weekend, got nabbed right on the line, having looked like she was going to win. She did come back with a win first time up, though, and she heads the RPRs on this. Our mate Johnny Pearson We'll no doubt be hoping that she comes home in front. So I'm very excited for the French Guineas on Sunday, and particularly to see Tsar Carver's granddaughter, Zarigana. Let's see if she can do the business in the Pouliche at 4:05.
Okay, let's move on to our best bets of the weekend. Let's start with you, Liam. What is the nap?
Yeah, the nap for me is give me 5 in the Swinton for Harry Derham. As I mentioned, I think he's been campaigned perfectly all season. You know, he never really puts in a bad effort for the yard, and he's in career best form. His last two career high Racing Post ratings have come the last twice, and he's a course and distance winner. So on good ground, I think he'll be tough to beat.
Okay, Graham.
Yeah, mine is in the 2:40 at Ascot, James. It's £10 for Harry Charlton and Trevor Whelan.
£10 in the big handicaps. We love to see Graham a nap in a big handicap at 10-1. I'm going to go for something you also like, Brett. It's my nap. I'm going to go Fox Avatar in the 150 at Lingfield. Form of his horse just strikes me as one definitely might be an improver. So 5-2, good bit of value, I hope. And your nap, Brett.
I really fancy No Retreat in the Victoria Cup first and since being gathered, but I'm not going to go for it in a massively competitive handicap like that. So Night Breeze for me in 3:15. We're paying 5 places each way. It's a big price at around 12-1. Step back up in Trip War Suit. He'll also strip much fitter for his seasonal reappearance at Haydock last time. So yeah, Night Breeze for me in the 3:15 at Ascot.
So thank you very much to our panel. That is in the bottom left, Liam Head, Unibet's Brett Williams in the bottom right. Top right, Graham Rodway, with his special guest, a budgie for this week's show. We don't know if that came through to you at home, but I certainly heard a few yields of support for Graham's selection throughout the show. And thanks to you as well for listening along. If you're a fan of the show, do not forget to rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you fancy this weekend. Have you got a big fancy in the Victoria Cup, the Swinton, those big races? Let us know what you think. And of course, do join us again at 7 o'clock next Thursday, where we'll be taking a deep dive into the Lockinge and the London Gold Cup, of course, which featured no less the future Triumph Herder winner. Cheltenham's never too far away, is it? But for now, enjoy a stunning weekend's racing. Goodbye. And of course, gamble responsibly.